Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, Omar Abid. And I'm glad to say I'm joined by my regular friend and co-host, Kelly Rickard. Hello, Kelly.
Hello, I missed you.
Oh, thank you. That's very nice.
That's where you're supposed to say it back.
Well, what I was going to say was that, you know, you asked for space and I'm respecting that, so I don't see why you... No, I missed you as well. It was lovely and great fun to do it with Lara, as always. Do the podcast, guys. but it's great to have you back, even if it is over Zoom, because you've been busy. What have you been doing?
Oh, I'm so busy. I don't know my bottom from my elbow at the moment. But also, the other thing concerning me is that Lara looks so beautiful in our trailers. Like, for the Zoom meet, she looked beautiful, and you've just got me halfway through the workday. I've literally just kind of tucked my boobs back into my bra because they'd popped out in all the excitement of running up to the meeting room.
I know, I said that like she was really glammed up and everything, and I'm wearing one of my extensive range of navy blue / black hoodies.
I mean, it made a difference from your Stand Comedy Club t-shirt that you like to wear.
Yeah, I know. I've got to look back through some of our photos. I seem to really enjoy that one as well. I really need some more clothes. It's my birthday coming up, so, you know, if anyone wants to send me some clothes, maybe we could have a sponsorship with Stitch Fix or whoever, you know.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I don't know, I'm quite particular, actually, you know, surprisingly. But it's just I'm more function over style. So,
I mean, I'm normally style over function, but I don't know what's happened today. I've got my hair done like Cam. Cam kind of does that whole harassed mum look really well with his messy man bun, doesn't he? Yeah, I'm kind of channeling that today.
How are you finding it generally? Because obviously we didn't catch up last week.
Well, yeah, this is our first chat about it, isn't it? So I've been frantically trying to watch episodes in the evening. Last night I watched 4 episodes. I came in from work, put the children to bed, and then watched 4 episodes of Maths before going to sleep at 1. So, yes, I really like it, but I don't know if it's me being a bit sleep deprived. What happened to the honeymoons? Where were they? Did we see? It was like weddings. Oh, we're at the first dinner party. That's what it felt like to me. Did it feel like that to you?
It felt like partly that, but more that a lot of couples we've barely seen anything of. So I wonder what happened on the honeymoons. For example, Duncan and Alyssa, we saw their wedding, and the next time we saw them, they were saying, "I think I could fall in love with you. I think I could fall in love with you." I was like, "What the hell has happened on that honeymoon? I don't think I saw any of it." So,
some magical honeymoon. Yeah, I felt exactly the same. And there was a couple of times last night where I was like, "Who's she again? Which one's she?" And I don't normally feel like that. So I'm glad you kind of agreed with me on that.
Yeah, there's a lot of chat online and just amongst actual people who I talk to, that it's very difficult to differentiate between all the blonde women in this year's series.
Yeah, there's a lot of very conventionally beautiful, white-teethed, blonde-haired female activity going on.
I know you hate them, don't you?
I don't. I love women. I'm a champion of other women.
Well, okay. With that, I think that's a good way to lead us into our first couple. Where we're going to start is with Melissa and Josh, sex-crazed Melissa.
Oh, I know. Go on, you go first. You say what you think first.
I think, right, from the outset, I feel sorry for Josh. He's a nice guy. He's clearly conservative. He didn't want to talk about sex a lot publicly, which is strange when you're coming onto national TV and you know what the show is. You know, they're obviously going to ask you. I don't know why he chose to lie instead of talk to Melissa and say, when they ask me about sex, I'm going to say, "Oh, a gentleman doesn't kiss and tell," you know, that kind of thing. So that was a mistake that he made. But since then, she has been really pushing how much she wants sex. And I get that it's important to her, but to have it as like part of her five-year plan, I understood why he was upset. A five-year plan is like, I want to have a house. I want my career to be at this point. Not something sex is something you would consider sort of day-to-day intimacy. You shouldn't have to factor that in, you know what I mean? Like, so it's weird that she keeps pushing that. And the fact that she, when she said she didn't know what he does for a job, it was absolutely shocking. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, because I was watching this last night and I was all ready to come on and kind of defend her, because I think what we've got to remember is, so she's my age, and our generation of women was very much brought up to think men are always going to want to have sex with anyone and everything, and that's just the way it is traditionally, and if they don't want to have it with you, there's something wrong with you. And then she's been in, as she said, a sexless marriage, so her self-esteem is going to be on the floor. And there's nothing that's going to make a woman fixate on sex more than a man that doesn't want it. Because in our brains, that's like, but you're supposed to want it with me all the time. But then I was ready to defend her in that way. And then when she didn't know what his job was, I was like, right, that's indefensible. Like, how do we defend the woman now?
Well, yeah. And, you know, he read out that really heartfelt letter. And she seemed quite unmoved by it.
It was really weird that, because he'd admitted to being really lonely. And I thought, oh, this is going to be a point where they can agree and connect, because she's going to have been lonely as well. And instead she was just like, right, anyway, on to my orgasms. I'm going to need to have this many a day for the next 5 years. And also, the thing that's making me really laugh is he's clearly, just to even look at him, a really unsexual person. And I don't mean not sexually attractive, I mean he's not the alpha male, he's not like highly sexualized being, he's just a nice guy who wants companionship and he wants to watch Disney films with his family. And I don't know how she looked at him and thought, yeah, he's going to be a sex god, he's going to match me.
Well, you know, though, he did say that behind closed doors he attends to his woman, you know what I mean?
Is that what he said? Was that the exact wording?
He didn't quite put it in those words, but he said, you know, I treat my wife the way a husband should treat. He throws down, you know, he'll do what he needs to do.
What do you think he's into? What do you think his main move is?
Dressing up as Woody from Toy Story. Yeah. But what... I'd, I do know what you mean, though, about his... I find him unintentionally hilarious.
Like, oh, he is.
When he was saying, I'm a sex object, and he is being treated like a sex object, but it just really made me laugh, the look on his face and the way he said it. And also when he was clearly angry, and he goes, yeah, you know, I am out of my mind angry right now.
Yeah, in like the most placid and angry voice ever.
Yeah. And he had to go get a glass of water while they were having a chat. Like, and it, you know, some people are just like that. I'm not an angry person. When I'm not intimidating or like I don't have those violent eruptions of anger. So when I do get angry, I seethe. If I try and be intimidating, like with another bloke or something, it's fucking embarrassing. There's no point me doing it because it's just comical. They would just laugh in my face. Or if I'm not, you know, if Claire and I argue, I don't shout and scream at her because it's just not in me that kind of.
Yeah. No, and I think it's not in him as well. And maybe we're not being very fair laughing at him. But when they first introduced that couple, I thought, oh, this is this series sacrificial lambs. Like, there she is. She's sex mad. He just wants to put Toy Story on. It's going to be, they're just there for comedy value. But then on the wedding day, I felt like she went into it with the attitude of anyone could be at the end of that aisle and I'm going to have sex tonight. Anyone. I'm going to make this work. This is it. Did you feel that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the general thing is she has over-prioritized how important sex is to her because she's come from a sexless marriage. Yeah. I can totally understand it, but she just needs... She needs a shag. Like, it's not that big a thing. She's making too big a thing of it. What do you think, right? There's a thing going around on Twitter and or social media about her, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this. People are going, oh, this is terrible. It's terrible the way she's acting. If the roles were reversed, imagine the outcry. Imagine, you know. What do you think of that argument?
Oh, well, that argument frustrates me because it's always the argument when it's a woman that wants sex. It's like, oh, if the shoe was on the other foot, it's exactly what we had with the British series with Gemma and Tattoo Face Guy. Like, it just frustrates me because it's not, the roles aren't reversed. We are looking at a man and a woman. So there is a difference. She has been brought up differently to him. I'm going to get myself in trouble again here, aren't I? But I'm not saying that she couldn't hurt him or that she couldn't physically pin him down. I'm not saying that. But I am saying we've got to remember that they come from these different gender roles. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
But that's why I don't go on Twitter because I'm scared.
Yeah, we've sort of generally apportioned the roles that you go on Instagram because it's a bit nicer and I go on Twitter because I like the aggro.
Yeah, you handle the aggro well. You're really good at it.
Thank you.
And then I play on Instagram.
Well, no, I totally agree with you because it's that argument of, oh, if they swap places, imagine the outcry. That argument only holds water if the two people swapping are in exactly the same situation. But men and women aren't in the same situation. It's like the N-word debate. Like when some white people say, oh, well, black people use the N-word, but if I used it, then imagine the outcry that there would be. It's like, yeah, because your whole relationship with that word is totally different to theirs because of the way they've been brought up with it, society, this, that, the other. And, you know, people are saying things like, oh, she's a sex pest, she's a predator, it's all this. It's like, calm down. You know what I mean? There's not going to be a Netflix true crime documentary about how she raped Josh on the set of Married at First Sight Australia.
It's like, I know. Just her bitchy friends going, oh, she'll eat him alive. She's going to eat him alive. That's just the go-to phrase for a woman that likes sex, isn't it? Like, yeah. It's so frustrating. And also, you've explained that so much better than me. I told you you'd have to bring me back from my tangents today.
There's only going to be two possible outcomes, is that maybe with the help of the experts, she'll realise she's over-prioritising sex, put that on the back burner a little bit, and their potentially good relationship will develop. Or Josh will think, oh my God, she's too much, she's sex-crazed, and then they'll go their separate ways. There's not going to be, and this isn't to say that women can't abuse men. Well, let's look at those two specifically. Nothing that physically or mentally traumatic is going to happen to him. It's like she wants to sleep with him. He's not as fussed. That'll be the end of it.
And I think the problem with the relationship now is there's something in all of us that desire is based on lack. We want what we can't have. And so her continually being like, let's have sex. When are we having sex? Can we talk about sex? It's going to make him recoil, I think. And that would be the same, I think, the other way around. That would be the same if you had a man continually pestering the woman for sex. She would recoil because it's you want there to be a little bit of push and pull and a little bit of, is it going to happen, isn't it? And just knowing that it's going to happen all day, every day for the next 5 years kind of takes the excitement out of it a bit.
Yeah, exactly. And it sort of leads back into that thing that you said where a lot of women think men just want to have sex constantly because that's the way as a man you're brought up thinking it's all about like, yeah, I've got to be able to go all the time. And it's like, that's not, sometimes I just want to watch telly.
Yeah. So would it put you off if you were with a woman that was like Melissa in that way?
Potentially. I mean, it'd feel like a chore.
Yeah, that's never good.
Yeah, an obligation to be fulfilled so that then I can have some downtime. You know, you should want to be doing it, you know.
I know, but I mean, one thing in Melissa's favour, I was really impressed with it, that she was managed to get over the Toy Story pyjamas. Like, she saw him lying there with those on, and instead of thinking, oh God, no, I can't do this tonight, she was just like, no problem. What do you want me in? Do you want me in this black lace number or naked? Like, I was like, wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, well, she definitely wanted to get some that night, didn't she? Next big debate. Did Claire cheat on Jesse with Adam, or did Adam cheat on Janelle with Claire, if you know what I mean? They're both involved, as someone pointed out to me on Twitter. It's not just Claire's fault if they did do something. I did a poll before you answer. So we'll see which side you come down on first.
I think they potentially left together and there's been some flirtation, but I don't think they fully cheated on their partners yet. However, from Claire's point of view, if she had cheated on Jesse, I would totally understand why.
Go on, what's your problem with Jesse? Oh, by the way, 53% thought that they had cheated.
What do you think?
I think she did.
And you mean full sex?
I don't know about full sex, but enough that it's beyond flirtation. I think something physical happened, yeah.
Tongues. We need to be clear on what we're talking about. Okay, so my issue with Jesse is I don't think he's very well mentally. His thought processes don't make any sense to me. And I also think he's incredibly rude. So the wedding day, there was such an amazing chemistry between them and they really fancied each other. And then she mentioned crystals and he looked at her like she just stabbed his cat. It was like, all right, you're not into star sign chicks. We get it. But you don't need to look at her like that. And just so mean to her. And all right, he was kept hidden in a cupboard by his last girlfriend for 2 years. Okay, that's going to damage your self-esteem. But let's move on. I don't know. I totally get why she would have been flirting with somebody else, because he's just a very dark, intense, mysterious, confusing character.
I really enjoyed his performance at the dinner party where he's in the pressure cooker being grilled and he just wasn't giving him much. And it was because he was socially awkward, which I can understand in that situation. But I really enjoyed him just because what else is he meant to say? His problem with her is that he finds her annoying. They might have the same values, a perfect match and all the big things that matter. But if he can't, you know, just sit down and have a drink with her and not be wound up by her, then how else is there a polite way to say that, you know?
Oh, this, you can definitely be nicer about it than he was.
Yeah, you
definitely.
Can.
There are, you know, the stock phrases that the other ones use, or I don't think the chemistry's quite there, or, you know, those phrases. He didn't need to be like, shush. I mean, that would have triggered me. Oh.
But do you think, right? So you think there's been flirtation, but nothing more yet. So you think that
flirtation, maybe a cheeky little kiss, almost kiss. I mean, something may have happened because of Adam's reaction to the show your phone task. That made me think, oh my Lord, that man has got something to hide. So maybe it's what happened with Claire that he was hiding. But Claire seems very, like, quite a decent person. So I don't know if anything has happened. I don't think it's anything that bad.
It's an unpopular opinion, but I think I prefer Jesse to Claire. I think Jesse's he's getting a little bit of a hard time here because, yes, he's been a dick, but he's not been... I'm surprised the level of hatred for Jesse, to be honest. Oh,
what, from me or from social media?
No, from social media. He's undoubtedly been a dick, and he definitely could have said things in a nicer way. Also, that you mentioned the phone thing. I think you're being unfair to Adam. The reason he didn't want to look through Janelle's phone was to protect the integrity of her bridesmaids chat.
Yeah, the bridesmaid chat. He was ever so concerned about that bridesmaids chat. And I have never seen relief like it. The relief that flooded his face when she went, yeah, it's fine. No, you're right. We don't have to check each other's phones. It's fine. Yeah. His face. Oh, he's so dodgy. I knew he was dodgy with that flaky fake job malarkey that was going on.
Yeah, the podcast, which, you know.
Yeah.
Those in glass houses. But yeah, she really fell for that. Oh, if we trust each other, we don't need to check each other's phones. You only met him 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, she's so lovely, but I think quite naive. Unless underneath it, she kind of thought, yeah, he's got something to hide and I'm not ready to see what that is. So I haven't been on social media at all because of all the work I've been doing. So I don't know about this reaction to Jesse. And now I'm panicking that I've been too mean if he's already having a hard time on social media. So what kind of things have people been saying?
Things that he often deserves, that he's unkind, you know, he's mean, he's rude. I think he reminds a lot of people of their various ex-partners or something, just that in the way he has delivered some of his issues. But yeah, it's the same with any participant. The stuff with Melissa. I agree, she, as I've said many times, over-prioritises sex. But that doesn't mean she's like a prostitute and stuff, you know, people calling her a slag.
And if she was Omar, that would be fine.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah. I took you to school there, didn't I?
Yeah. It's always extreme reactions one way or another, and rarely deserved, except for maybe in the case of Harrison.
Oh, yeah.
Harrison and Bronte. Go on, because we've not heard from you on this. This was the big story last week, and he's carrying on this week, really.
I think I'm going to surprise you here, but I think the reaction to, oh, he had somebody on the outside, was naive at best. Like, there's nothing to say that they can't have had sex with somebody the night before they go in there. As long as they're not once they're in there. So do you know at the dinner party it kept being brought up that, oh, but as soon as you knew you were going on the programme, you should have ended all relationship. I don't know if I agree with that. I think it's naive to think that they all did. However, if he did say, I'm still going to see you throughout the process and we'll still be together and what if we make a baby, then that's harder to forgive.
Okay, that's fair, because he said he's just been shagging around, basically. And yeah, if that's... It's not obviously a committed relationship, but we don't know the extent of that relationship really with the girl outside. It's hard to know from what we've seen on Married at First Sight. But what about the way he's treated Bronte since the marriage, since the wedding?
Oh, well, that's just textbook gaslighting. Textbook. Every time she's tried to bring anything to the table that he might have done wrong, he's just switched it right back on her. And in quite a shocking way, actually. And I mean, obviously the sex thing, I think I probably agree with Lara that it was a case of he wasn't able to see it through to the end. But even that was, instead of talking about it, it was just like, well, I don't fancy you. You're the problem. I need to fancy you. But it worries me that it's taken us so long to see it.
Yeah, that's what I'm starting to think about now, is that she keeps falling into the same trap. And when he flipped it of like, what are you doing to, what are you bringing to the relationship? I'm fighting for us. And she totally's like, well, I'm here. I'm like trying.
I know.
You can't even entertain the question. It's like.
Yeah, it's really. And he's also, I'm not sure how bright he is. I'm not, because sometimes I feel like he doesn't follow conversations or what anyone's saying or asking him or what the problem is. It's just, he's an odd one.
Do you think they're going to be in it for a while, or do you think there'll be an early exit?
I think if they are in it for a while, it'll be because they're purposefully trying to stay on TV.
Right.
I don't think they're going to be in it for a while because they both think it actually has potential.
Mm-hmm. Did you?
Why does he keep buying her cakes? What is that about?
I loved that. I put that on Twitter where she was like, do you want to have a chat? And it was like, well, I bought you the cake, so I didn't think we'd have to now.
I mean, if it was Harrison sat in front of me, I'd rather have the cake than a chat with him. So I get it.
Yeah. A lot of people pointed out that the cake looked like boob as well.
Yeah, boob cake.
Did you enjoy Melinda and Leighton taking him to task at the dinner party?
Yeah, I did. So I imagine that she's not loved on social media, Melinda, but there's definitely an element to her that I recognise in myself. That kind of doesn't suffer fools gladly, spots a liar a mile off, cynical. I've got all those lovely elements in my character as well. But yeah, I really enjoyed her taking him to task. I did. Somebody needed to.
There was actually quite a big turnaround, because from the wedding, a lot of people hated her.
Right, okay.
She didn't like, you know, she didn't trust Leighton, thought it was a facade when he was clearly just a polite guy who works too much.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm like, though, especially at the beginning of a relationship. Like, if somebody's nice to me, I'm like, what's happening here? What's wrong with him? Has he got a personality disorder?
But then as soon as she started going for Harrison, people like, actually, she might be all right. And she sort of changed her opinion slightly on Melissa, saying that she'd given her some good advice at the dinner party. So, you know, maybe it was just, yeah, initial nerves and walls up at the wedding.
Walls up, exactly.
Yeah. We've not seen much of her and Leighton. Another one where we barely saw the honeymoon or anything like that. So,
yeah,
there's not really much to say about them, I guess. Another big moment, which people were screaming at the TV, Shannon and Caitlin.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That poor girl.
That was brutal. So brutal.
So brutal. And I mean, I feel for him as well, because he's clearly heartbroken and stuck in some kind of toxic pattern. But what's she meant to do with that? And do we know, right, because this was another one of the honeymoons that they really glossed over. Do we know if they've had sex yet?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point.
Because I was just thinking, oh, if they've been intimate and they've been, and then all of a sudden he's turned around, he's got his head in his hands and he's crying actual tears that I think I still love my ex. My heart went out to her. And then when she was like, this happens to me all the time, I was like, oh.
That was really bad. On top of the photo, the hotness ranking exercise.
Oh my God. Oh yes. That one was almost more shocking. There was just a complete lack of empathy.
Having just said, they'd just shown the bit with the experts where Mel had told him the way to tell you truth without being a dick is one word, empathy. And then he's just like, I've seen you without makeup on, and I've only seen them with makeup on. Their natural beauty shines through more than yours.
Honestly, probably one of the worst things you could ever say to a woman in the society that we live in, where we're brought up and there's so much importance on our looks, to say their natural beauty. Because that's a double whammy. That's like, you're not attractive, and also you, like, who you are as a person, your actual aura, the nature of you is not attractive. That activity always blows my mind, because I'm not saying, oh, I'm the kindest person in the world, but surely the decent thing to do is to put your partner first.
Of course, it's common sense, isn't it? It's just common sense.
You know, it's like when you're sat watching the TV and, I don't know, Idris Elba comes on. I don't say to Nick, God, he's so much hotter than you. Just put the picture first of the one you're with.
Well, with that thing, Ollie and Tani handled it well. They made it a bit of a laugh. Like, they were saying, oh, she's into sugar daddies and I'm the youngest one here. You know, they made it a bit of a laugh, and they both put each other first.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science how to do it. But he was like, he had his finger on his chin. He's like really considering it. And then when he started moving it, I thought, oh, he's going to put her first now. That's good. And then he started moving it back down the rankings.
You're right, you know, it was his whole manner. It was the stroking of the chin, the length of time he took over it. It was like he had a knife in her heart and he was just slowly twisting it. It was so brutal.
Yeah, that was tough to watch. I don't know why she would stay in it when he's in that condition. He's clearly just too hung up on his ex, and he maybe thought he could come in here and, like, that'd be drawing a line in the sand under it, but it's obviously not the case. Ollie and Tani, though, I mentioned, I think they're just going along nicely, discussing whether to use electric toothbrush or normal toothbrush, and, like, they're just having a lovely time.
Yeah, I really feel their youth. Do you know what I mean? I feel like they're so young and they've got no baggage, and, you know, there's no horrible exes or dark secrets that we know of yet. They're just, like you say, trundling along. He reminds me of a John Hughes character from, like, an 80s sort of rom-com.
Yeah.
They're likeable enough. Nothing exciting's happening yet.
No, but I don't know if it will. I think they're just going to go along giggling, keeping themselves to themselves, not get caught up in the drama, which I enjoy it when they come on screen. I enjoy watching them. It's a nice break from the toxicity.
It is. And Ollie's teeth. I could just watch Ollie's teeth. They're phenomenal, aren't they? So white and straight.
The other cheating debate this week was Duncan and Alyssa. She said in her confessions that she'd been complicit in a extramarital affair.
Judgy Duncan. Dear God, she didn't cheat on him. That was so over the top.
Did you think?
Oh my, yes. I hate this when they judge people on something they've done previously, because people change all the time. People grow up, people go through trauma, people meet other people. We are changed all the time as we grow. And to think that because she cheated once years ago, but it was the way he took on the hurt of the cheat himself. He just was like staring up at the ceiling, like his world had fallen apart. And it was like, she didn't cheat on you.
Yeah, that's true. It probably was an overreaction. But then he did come back the next day and say that, like, you know, people change and make mistakes. And she did, rather than Adam, who basically said, I've made loads of mistakes in his wedding vows. She did it.
Yeah, what are they? So we know that he's cheated, but the loads of mistakes, plural, made me think he's just cheated every time, which is very different to somebody that's had one mistake.
We're never going to know now, because Janelle didn't look through his phone, so.
The other thing is, she's a Mormon. What's her name? One of the blondes?
Alyssa.
Alyssa's a Mormon, so, like, did she not grow up with thinking that having loads of partners was normal?
Well, maybe. I mean, I don't feel fully apprised of the Mormon religion. It's basically based on what I've seen in South Park and the Book of Mormon. So
yeah, that's a really good point, actually. I've probably just said something horribly offensive there. Sorry to the Mormon community that we have following us.
Got a big following in Utah, actually, Kelly, so I'm going to edit this out. Right, Sandy and Daniel. This one, I felt this one, being Asian myself. This was...
Oh! my God, I bet you did. I mean, I love them anyway, and I love her. She's one of my favourites in it. But when she read out her letter about how awful people were to her at school, I mean, were you all right listening to it?
Yeah, it was annoying. It's hard to understand. They've got very thick accents, haven't they? No, it was. But the thing is, that's the typical experience of an Asian person in a predominantly Caucasian society. It's just that standard name calling. And everybody has their own cross to bear. Like we were talking about, you know, women before, or gay people, or if you're, you know, if you're autistic, or, you know, everybody's got, as I said last series, that everybody has their own spoonful of shit to eat. And in her case, like, that's a common thing, just, you know, low-level day-to-day racism like that. I hope we kind of move past that, though, because I still don't feel we really know her. I think I like her, but all that's been discussed really is her culture.
You're right. It's almost, ironically, the portrayal of her is quite racist, because that's all they're focused on is, you know, here she is, the Asian girl, and oh, what a hard time she's had as an Asian girl, and she approaches this relationship as an Asian girl from an Asian. You're right. Like, it would be nice to get to know her now.
Yeah, exactly. There's these last few we've spoken about, really, and the reason we've left them to the second half of the episode is just because there's not much to say about them. They've gone from wedding to now we're at the first commitment ceremony coming up in the next episode. And we don't really know how they interact. We're still talking about, the last people to talk about, Lyndall and Cameron. So cystic fibrosis, Cameron brought that up at the dinner party in front of the other guys, which I hope he sort of had her consent to do that. Maybe she should have told people. But they seem nice enough, but we don't know much about them either, you know.
But my instinct with Lyndall and Cameron, I absolutely love them. I'm so happy when they come on screen. It feels very genuine to me, the way they are together. And I feel like they really fancy each other. And I feel like they're kind to each other. I mean, he can be a little bit silly and alpha male-y sometimes. Like when he was showing off to the other lads about, oh, she makes me a cup of tea and I get a back scratch. I was like, oh, shut up. But like, for the most part, I really like them.
Yeah, I do too. I do think when we do learn more about them and see how they actually interact, I think I'm going to continue to like them even more. Lyndall's got a big role to play in this commitment ceremony. It seems like she's got a bit of a bombshell to drop, maybe about the Claire and Adam situation. Maybe it'll turn out she doesn't have cystic fibrosis after all. Who knows?
That's horrific. I can't believe you've said that.
Good way to get on telly.
That's horrendous. Also, this wonder drug, which does is amazing, phenomenal, but do they want to mention it anymore? I swear some kind of weird product placement going on.
Okay, so that's this week's episode. I think there's a lot of drama to come. Like I say, I can't wait to see what happens at this commitment ceremony. Which one of the judges is going to go after Harrison? I mean, it's got to be one of the women, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, Mel, I've got a feeling it's going to be all three of them, because John seems to have been a little bit kinder to the girls this time so far.
I don't know why you don't like John, he's fine.
I didn't say I didn't like him, I just said he's a horrible misogynist. No, I don't know that. I think from something we've heard from a source, that he's told to speak like that to the women sometimes by an earpiece.
Right.
Some info there.
We'll see what comes up next week. But next week's episode, we're going to be back together in person, aren't we?
Yay! Should we have a drink?
God, you can tell you've had a hard week.
Oh, God, I need this to be over. Honestly, I need this fortnight to be over. But yeah, I'm excited to be back in person talking about all this really important, deep stuff that we talk about.
It'll be fun. It's much nicer to do it in person, I think. So if you enjoy our podcast, please follow us at Maths Hysteria on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. But for this week, I've been Omar Abid.
Shit, I forgot who I was then. Honestly, I'm so sorry. I'll be back on form next week. I have been a version of Kelly Rickard.
And until next week, we'll give you the space you requested.